Blog Talk Radio.
Moderate day up here, and in the valley that means instead of being 130 degrees, it's only going to be about 102.
Well, you know, Boppy, this is the time of year where it gets hot, and we just need to ride it out here because folks in Southern California, things aren't really all that bad with the climate, and certainly with all we've got going on, we've got some great baseball, football just around the corner. We got horse racing today out at Los Alamitos Race Course, and we're going to get to all that in just a moment. And let me let the fans know out there that all you need to do for free plays each and every day is simply go visit our sponsor, sportswagers-selections.com. And out on page one, no registrations required, folks, no email address, no phone numbers, no next of kin, nothing. Just go visit us, get that off of our website, or follow us on Twitter. Type in Eddie the Hat Wins, and we'll get that same selection tweeted to your home office and or mobile device. Do it right now. sportswagers-selections.com. All right, Boppy, I am feeling less than chipper this morning. And as I told Hondo a little bit ago, let's just say I'm dragging. Boppy, have you heard the old saying, the early bird gets the worm?
But who wants a worm?
Well, you know what? I just want my coffee. And so, anyway, I'm set. I got it in front of me. And we have Hondo with us this morning. Hondo, how are you?
I'm doing great, guys.
All right. Boppy, step to the plate. Hit it out of the park with your who's hot and who's not list.
Well, we got to study in contrast today. Two pitchers in Major League Baseball, one of whom I've mentioned before, but he's hotter than a piece of bacon at the bottom of the griddle, you know, on a 4th of July pancake breakfast. I mean, we're talking hot. Max Scherzer, what a season he's having. He's my choice for Cy Young Award this year. Again and again, his name shows up. Last three games, He's just virtually unhittable. I mean, we're talking a guy who in his last four games, what does he have? A no-hitter and a one-hitter and flirting with a shutout another game. It's simply an amazing, amazing run for Max Scherzer. He's doing great. And on the other side of that coin is none other than Aaron Harang. And if you hear a bell, that the bell tolls for Ronnie because his career is over. His ERA the last three out times out, it's like 7.94. I mean, he can't get a little league team out. And Aaron Harangue, I think the bell is tolled. The bell is ringing for Aaron Harangue, and it's time to call it a career. What's your judgment, Hondo?
Bobby, I don't think you can call a guy's career off of three starts. He's a useful pitcher. I don't think his career is over. He just recently went on the DL. I think he's got a bad foot. I think the Phillies just put him on the 15-day DL, but I don't think his career is over by any means. I think that's kind of going overboard, Bobby. Come on.
Well, maybe, but it's just been a long time since he's been effective. Anyway.
I'll tell you, Bobby, I'll say this, and Hondo will second this. Aaron Harangue has never been one of my favorite pitchers. And from where I sit, I don't criticize too much, you know, players and jockeys and stuff like that. But I will tell you that somewhere in my mind or in my office here is a list of pitchers or players, and we're talking about quarterbacks, running backs, coaches, that have never done me any favors when it comes to wagering. And they can go out and they can throw 8 innings of shutout baseball and give up 2 hits. Aaron Harangue is not on that list as far as I'm concerned. So I have to agree with Bobby. I'm not saying his career is over, but Aaron Harangue is not a pitcher that I enjoy picking.
Well, until his last three starts, I mean, right now, if you take his last three starts, which was 8.31 ERA, right now his ERA is 4.08. So he had an ERA of in the threes before these last three bad starts. Last year, he won 12 games with a 3.57 ERA. So, Bobby, you said when was the last time he was good? His last three starts, yes, he's been horrible. But before that, he was a useful pitcher.
Yeah. It kind of reminds me somewhat of the problems one of my heroes had at the end of his career. That, you know, it reminds me of Drysdale at the end of '69. And I just, it's hard to watch a guy try to tiptoe through the raindrops and then just get belted.
All right, who's on the other side of the coin?
Well, we talked about Max Scherzer. Max Scherzer was my guy.
Okay.
You know, another guy who's hot, I don't know if you've noticed, Bobby, pitcher for the Rangers, Giovanni Gallardo, has pitched 29 and a third consecutive scoreless innings, which is now fourth best in franchise history. He just passed Ferguson Jenkins, who had 29 consecutive scoreless innings in 1974 for the Rangers. So Gallardo was on a good roll for the Rangers.
Two people I noticed but I didn't mention because I rue the day that they both got better. Two people I released on my fantasy team were Tejan Walker and Carlos Carrasco, both of whom have now done what I thought they would do from spring training when I thought they both had found their control, found the home plate, weren't walking anyone. They're now pitching like that, but after Bobby released them.
Yeah. And, you know, Bobby, not to get too far off the train tracks here, I want to thank you for releasing him and allowing the number one team in the league to pick him up.
Oh, well, what can I say?
Yeah, I know, big guy. Your ears, I think, were burning Thursday because that's when it came off the waiver, and he got picked up. And of course, I was too low on the list to get him. Anyway, all right. Well, I don't want to turn this into a fantasy show, but what else is going on in baseball, guys?
Well, we got the All-Star selection. The All-Star starters will be announced tomorrow, and then the reserves are going to be announced on Monday. And Boppy, the old second baseman for the Kansas City Royals, Omar Infante, who carried a robust .230 batting average into play the other day, is still leading the second baseman with the Royals fans stuffing the, I won't call it ballot boxes because they don't hand out ballots at the parks anymore because now you got to do all your voting online. But, I mean, the Omar Infante starting over either Jason Kipnis, who should be the starter, because Kipnis is by far having the best year of any American League second baseman, or even Altuve, who is having a better year. I think there's probably 10 second basemen in the American League having a better year than Omar Infante. What do you think of that, Bobby?
Well, this is one of those outrages that makes you wonder why on earth are they letting the fans vote at all. This hasn't happened for the last time this happened really bad was when the president of the National League stepped in back in 1956 when the Cincinnati Red fans, they were the Red Legs then, had named all eight players of the Red Legs to the starting lineup of the National League. And that was a team that hadn't contended for a pennant in 20 years. And yet they had, you know, and they took, I think, four of the starters away from the Reds and gave them to Stan Musial, among others. So it's tantamount to that. Omar Infante should not, in this lifetime, be in an All-Star game. I mean, not unless it's a celebrity game at the end of the year where you're raising money for cancer.
Yeah, it's and the small part I blame maybe some of the announcers, the teams for saying, you know, go out and vote for Royals or Red Sox, and you know the Ranger telecast, my team, they're pushing for Adrian Beltre at third base. Now we all know Adrian Beltre is going to be in the Hall of Fame, and he's still a very good player, but he is not having an All-Star season. He's been hurt most of the year. He's still hurt, but he's still out there because he's a gamer, and he's not going to beg off. But, you know, these teams are partly at fault for telling fans, go out and support your favorite players.
Yeah, I know. Blue Jays do the same thing. They'll say, vote blue. I couldn't agree more. I really think that what I wish they wish the announcers and teams would do is say, this game belongs to the fans, and it belongs to the best that baseball has. That's why it's called All-Star. And it's not all blue or all Royals, it's All-Stars.
Well, the same thing happened in the NBA when they voted Kobe in, and Kobe played a dozen games, and Kobe is far from All-Star caliber play, now. He played hurt last year, and the NBA, they voted him in. And, it's a popularity contest, and I have a huge problem with the voting. What can you do? Before we take our break, I'm going to give my free play out right now because as I'm looking here, I'm seeing a trend. This is the game, folks. And if you're slow moving like I am this morning, you're going to want to pick up the pace here real quick. This game, first pitch is at 11:15. It's the San Diego at St. Louis game. Folks, I hate to do this. I don't like normally giving out teams that are heavily favored like this. But if there's ever a bet that looks very enticing, it's the 9:53, 9:54. The Padres are in St. Louis. Take 9:54. The Cardinals. This game right now is at -190. But as I'm speaking, the steam is coming in on St. Louis, and there are some sites now that are actually down to as much as 200 and 210. So you're going to want to jump on that right now and take advantage of it before it goes any higher. 9:54, the Cardinals with Martinez on the bump, and go ahead and eat the minus 190. All right, we're going to take our first and only timeout, and when we come back, we'll have more sports talk for you. This is your cue. Go refresh your beverage of choice, and we'll be right back.
Less conversation, a little more action, please. All this aggravation ain't satisfaction in me. A little more bite, a little less bark. A little less fight, a little more spark. Close your mouth and open up your heart, and baby, satisfy me. Satisfy me, baby. Baby, close your eyes and listen to the music. Dig to the summer breeze. It's a groovy night and I can show you how to use it. To come along with me and put your mind at ease. Hey! Less conversation, a little more action. All this aggravation ain't satisfaction in me. A little more bite, a little less spark. A little less fight, a little more spark. Close your mouth and open up your heart. And baby, satisfy me. Satisfy me, baby. Come on, baby, I'm tired of talking. Grab your coat and let's start walking. Come on, come on,
come on, come on,
come on, come on,
come on, come on,
come on,
come on,
don't procrastinate, don't articulate.
All right, sports fans, you are listening to Keeping Score with Boppy. I am Eddie the Hat, and with me I have Big Boppy, the old coach from Modesto and Hondo. And now we're going to the comfort zone, where Boppy is going to put on his sweater and he's going to take a couple of puffs out of his pipe, and we're going to Boppy's Corner. Boppy, what do you have for us this morning? Boy, I'm imagining that. That's a frightening thought, isn't it, Hondo?
Oh, yeah.
Boppy putting on a sweater and taking a couple of puffs out of his pipe, but we'll go with it. Boppy, what do you got for us?
This is one day where I can't put on the comfort sweater because I'm going to talk about a team that makes me real uncomfortable. But believe it or not, I think that this year's surprise team in the Pac-12 is going to be Utah. I think their season hinges on a kind of a factor of three quarterbacks. Which of these three quarterbacks steps up, and do they step up enough to make a difference? Because the Utes are a quarterback away from being able to challenge for a Pac-12 title this year, and here they run the ball as well as any team in college football. They've got a great running game, and they've got a trigger man playing second string right now named Brandon Cox, who would make them absolutely lethal the way that he runs the spread option. The problem with Cox: no, his accuracy as a passer is more than suspect. Then the other person they have there is Travis Wilson, but he seems to be turnover prone, and he's just hasn't been a winner. He's first string right now. But the other guy is Donovan Isom, a kid from Louisiana, who's got a little bit of passing, a little bit of spread option, a little bit of athleticism, but is a kid who's a redshirt freshman, ready to run the offense. Well, we'll see. Brandon Cox is the guy that I think everyone wants to have run it, but he just can't throw the ball accurately. And you have to have a passer that can throw. But other than that, the parts are all there. They have a defense that can compete, that can prevent teams from scoring. They have a running game with Booker and that stable of running backs. They can run the ball. So now the question is, do they have a trigger man? If Brandon Cox learns to throw, they could have a banner year. They could break out among the pack. Anyway, that's Boppy's college football preview, and they're my second dark horse team that could come through with a surprise challenge for a major conference championship.
Yeah, let me refresh everybody's memory, because last week we had a guest on and we were kind of flying through the show. Bobby, you like Michigan as a possible upset.
They have a lot of talent, and they have a coach who has a wonderful track record about having a big first year, whether it's at college or whether it's with the 49ers. So I think you could see a major turnaround with Michigan. I think Michigan could actually challenge the Buckeyes this year. They may not get there, but they are going to be close.
And I just want to let everybody out there know that last week they were 60-1. This week, Bobby, they're 65-1. So people aren't listening to you yet. Maybe they just need a little bit more time to make their trek to Vegas. But Michigan is sitting, depending on where you do your shopping, 60-65-1 in that ballpark. And that's not too shabby. So, all right. Guys, what about, I want to throw this out here because I've had a problem with this for a long time. Of course, a lot of people accuse me of being cranky from time to time. I hate the Home Run Derby. I think it's really, really stupid. And I'm going to tell you why. Because I think, see if you guys agree with this. I think it takes too much out of the players. I think they're risking injury. I think it does nothing but mess with their timing. I think it does nothing but mess with their swing. And for what? For bragging rights? I just don't get it. And this morning, or not this morning, but this past week, I heard on MLB Network that there was a previous winner of the MLB or the All-Star Home Run Derby that went on a record without giving his name. Well, now, I'm not going to say that he was a winner. He was definitely a participant. He said he would never participate again because it screwed him up so bad the second half of the season that he just won't ever consider it again. What do you guys think about that?
I think Josh Hamilton... But it's fun. It's for the fans. It's fun.
Well,
it's fun.
I know, but Bobby, blowing up a string of firecrackers and an M80 in the street is fun too, but is it worth risking your right hand for?
You don't do it in a crowded theater, but you can do it on the street when no one's around or when no one's close by. You don't blow it up in your hand. You don't blow it up next to somebody's ear. But you can have fun. I think you can have fun with firecrackers. I think you can have fun with sparklers.
All right. So, but you're saying that you don't think that there's anything wrong with the Home Run Derby?
I
think it needs to be tweaked a little bit. I think it needs to be tweaked a little bit, and it has been. They've made some changes for it this year. But it still draws a packed house, and it's for the fans. And I think that they do need the best home run hitters in it to make it legit. This year, if Stanton hadn't got hurt, he would have been in it. I think Trout needs to be in it. This year, the third baseman for the Reds, Todd Frazier, since the game is in Cincinnati, he needs to be in it. He's got 25 home runs this year. If you do it right, but so many things in this world now aren't done right. It's all well-intentioned, but they don't do it right. And I think, they're going to have, instead of 10 outs this year, each hitter is going to be able to hit for 5 minutes to see how many home runs they can hit. It's going to be bracketed where the winner of a so-and-so matchup is going to go up against two other guys that are matched up against each other, kind of like the NC2A brackets. It'll be interesting. I don't see anything wrong with it. It's just they have to make it so it's not a three-hour deal anymore. It's dragged on for too long, and maybe hopefully the changes this year will streamline it a little bit more.
There's actually too many participants, And they ought to maybe just hold the finals before the All-Star game with two or four guys, because the classic way that it was done and that we all watched and loved was one slugger versus one slugger, nine innings. But that format doesn't work when you've got 10 guys. It just doesn't work. And no matter how they try to do it, that doesn't work. So I tweak it some way, have semifinals leading up to the All-Star game, hold the finals at the All-Star game. Anyway, something like that. But anyway, I've loved it. I think that we've had some great moments. I think the Josh Hamilton streak at Yankee Stadium, even though he didn't win that one, everyone thinks he did, even though it was Justin Morneau because of that streak. Anyway, it's given us some great moments, and I love those kinds of things.
All I know is that if I wish they'd had it when I was a kid growing up, because I would have loved to have seen Frank Howard in a home run
contest
at the All-Star game.
I would love. I wouldn't. What about Mickey Mantle? We'd had Mantle and Mays at the All-Star break, or Mantle and Mays and Aaron and Hondo. That would have been
like the, it's kind of like that old, that old show that was filmed at the old Wrigley Field in Los Angeles.
Right, exactly.
Remember that? It was a half-hour show, and it matched two guys up against each other to see
and
who
it worked
the most home runs.
Bob Allison won it one year. It was pretty good until Bob Allison won it.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I mean, I watch it, you know, don't get me wrong, but I just if I was a GM or if I was a team owner and I had, you know, one of my best home run hitters was participating in it, boy, I'll tell you something, I would have a very, very uneasy 3 hours. Let's just say I'd be tossing back a lot of gin and tonics just with my fingers crossed at the, especially nowadays where these guys routinely tweak or have twinges in their obliques and in their hammies and all this. It's just, I don't know, it'd be a very scary 3 hours for me. Upcoming NFL, NBA, anything brewing, guys, that you see in the forecast that we need to be aware about?
My man Jimmer Fredette is probably going to play in Europe, and I think it's good for him because he was not going to make it in the NBA, at least not with his confidence level where it is now. So Jimmer looks like he's going to Italy, and wish him well. A great, great college player who wasn't really suited for the NBA.
And the L.A. teams, the Clippers yesterday lost DeAndre Jordan, which is a major loss. I have no idea who the Clippers are going to get to play center next year. And the Lakers might have made a big error in judgment when they drafted D'Angelo Russell out of Ohio State as their new point guard, thinking they would get either LaMarcus Aldridge or Kevin Love in free agency. Well, guess what? They're not going to get Kevin Love because he's going back to Cleveland, and it's looking very, very doubtful that they're going to get Aldridge. So who's going to play center for the Lakers? Robert Sacre? Oh, boy. And Laker fans thought that last year was bad.
Well, what do you guys think about Kobe participating in the contract talks? I mean, is that ridiculous or what?
Well, that's the NBA now, and they use their players as recruiting tools. LeBron James does it. Parsons did it with the Phoenix trying to get Aldridge to come to the Suns. It's just a sign of the times where the players sit down and try to convince their pals to go play in their city. So
yeah.
I don't see anything wrong with it, but I know that in the past Kobe has turned off players with his demeanor. Let's put it that way. So, but I don't know.
Kobe's turned me off with a lot of things, and one of them is that. All right. Well, we our half hour is gone. It's been blown up in our faces, as I say today on a 4th of July, and it's time for Boppy to go ahead and say it.
Well, happy 4th of July, happy Independence Day. God bless you, God bless America. Be safe. Be careful. We'll see you next week, Lord willing.
All right. And, Hondo, thank you for joining us this morning.
All right. It's been a pleasure.
And as we like to say around this part, we'll see you next week. Good luck with all your wagers, and we hope to see you in the cashier's line.